Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is the show where we talk about geek stuff. We're back again.
I am alive even.
You were down and out last week.
Yeah. So. You want to talk about what I did last week?
Let's talk about that after we get through this bit. We have a website, Bear. What is it? Now that you're here, you can tell
I can tell. I can tell everyone.
What's the website?
Pay attention, everyone. exppoints.com. Tricky part, two P's in the middle, double tap.
We always post our shows online and our blogs and our videos and stuff, but we also have like social media outlets as well. We're still giving away some games. I think we have like...
Do we have some left?
I think we have like 40 games, or maybe 35 out of the 47 or 48 games. Still some big AAA titles too. So if you go to exppoints.com, you can see all the games that we're getting given away, but you can also go to our Facebook or any of our other social media outlets, which you can find at exppoints.com/social. Remember, still double tap that P. You get a big giant list of all the stuff. I actually put a Patreon link up.
Oh, yeah.
I put a PayPal button.
I'm happy about that.
A nice PayPal P. Though at the same time, it's like, go to /social, also for money stuff. Please give us money. No. We are going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back and talk about what we did this past week. Then it's one of my favorite retro games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it's really
today's whole show, I'm actually pretty hyped about. I'll be honest.
It's a nostalgia show.
Get hyped.
It's a nostalgia show.
Hype.
We're not old people.
Hype.
Choo-choo.
Yeah.
Hashtag,
Matt doesn't even know how to handle this.
Hashtag hype. I'm
hashtag hype man.
I'm holding on to the
Red
studio
Bear's hyped.
Table.
He knows what he's doing tonight.
Anyway, we're gonna cut to two songs. This is Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego, and after that, Lightbringer by Pentakill. I'm MG,
and I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on the one and only Southeastern Zone,
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was the Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego and Lightbringer by Pentakill. It's going to be a short what we did last week session because we got a lot of stuff to cover later on.
That's
Bear, you know, you made it through the wilderness, as it
I
were.
Did. Well, I have a theory about what's going on.
Yeah, what you got?
Okay, so my theory on some other plane of existence is an epic battle over my mortality.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, it is deep. Because last week, it tried to kill me with illness.
Is that it? This week?
And this week, physics.
Wow.
Yeah. Murder and death killed my phone.
What, you got run over?
No.
What
so,
happened?
Genius me, soberly walking up my stairs to my apartment, fell down an entire flight.
You live almost on the third floor. You live like three stories
so,
up.
Like, well,
of an open stair.
Yeah, it's like a fire escape, really. And I fell down and literally broke my phone in half.
Wow.
So, and I learned phones are expensive.
We're gonna
so don't do that.
We'll post that. We'll post a picture of the phone.
Yeah, we'll throw up
on the
phone.
Show notes.
Yeah, wow, it's beautiful. So, actually, you know how many people ask me, well, how did you take a picture of the phone if you don't have a phone?
You probably just have a camera.
A camera?
Yeah, people still have cameras.
Camera, laptop, anything with cameras?
Yeah, that's it. Any other device?
Drove through a red light really quickly and held it up.
I brought your toaster outside. cool.
But I did get to being down and out. I got to watch all the Harry Potter movies, which I hadn't done yet, although I'd read all the books, whatever. Just never watched
the
films.
Oh, wow, so you're behind the films.
Yeah, I do the same thing with Game of Thrones. I read all the books. I'm not caught up in the watching of the things the motion picture-y TV thing.
You know all the things that are going to happen.
Yeah, I know everything's going to happen.
Let's not talk
anyway.
About it.
Let's not talk about it.
It's coming back soon.
I can give you a spoiler.
Spoiler
about Harry Potter.
What?
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Oh,
sorry, I wrecked everyone.
Very cool. Did you experience the Steam holiday sale?
Mildly, yes. Yeah. I ended up actually picking up Alien Isolation.
Oh yeah, you told me about
that. After you talking about it forever, it was half off. So I'm like, I can't not have this in my life.
It's definitely really cool. Yeah. While we're on the subject of Steam, before I go ahead and run through my thing real quick, so they just re-released the Steam updated edition of Red Faction Guerrilla, which before was this horrible, sucky Games for Windows Live version that you actually could not play on Windows 7 or Windows 8. It was broken. It was severely broken. But now, apparently, everything's working.
I thought Games for Windows was going away.
It was, and when it did, it stopped Red Faction from working. Red Faction Guerrilla, no matter how much you liked or didn't like Red Faction, you know, 1, 2, or whatever came after that, but Guerrilla's was different. It was third person. It was fully destructible or mostly fully destructible environments, like buildings structurally, you know, compromised buildings would fall
over.
Yeah,
I remember being a big deal.
It was really, really neat. Armageddon was sort of bad after that. They sort of went to just, you know, third-person action-adventure, not so much about the destroying of the environments, more like just destroying aliens. But, you know, Guerrilla was probably the best one since One. So
actually, I can get behind that.
Yeah, it was really good. And it's super cheap. And apparently they Steamworked it out, like Steamworks and everything. Steam's broed up.
Thanks, Gabe. Now stop getting that to work and get on Half-Life 3.
Get Half-Life 3 going. I went ahead and I played a couple games. I actually signed up for WoW. And I downloaded WoW.
What? I haven't played much WoW. No. I keep paying for it. Maybe I'll hop on your server.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're on Stormreaver if you want to be part of experience points.
Yeah.
Went ahead. I've played about 4 or 5 levels in. I'm liking the garrison so far. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, I watched a couple. I started watching Black Mirror, the series Black Mirror, which is like it's like the bad side of technology. You know, all the crazy. I think it's a British show, right? And it's about there are 6 episodes across 2 seasons, so 3 in each season. It's kind of like Sherlock.
Yeah, that's how they do.
That's how Sherlock does it. Yeah. So anyway, it's like, you know, the worst comes about, like the terrorism or whatever in the first episode. I'm not going to go into details because it's not really show appropriate. But it's about how technology is advancing at such a rate.
Do you mean the NSA doesn't want us talking about the bad side of technology on the air?
I don't think our general manager wants us talking about this specific episode.
I'm more concerned with that. Okay.
So anyway, no, it was a pretty good show, but I started watching that. We are going to cut to a single song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about our retro game.
Retro game.
And then we're going to finish.
And I'm still hyped about what's going on right now today.
The hype. The hype is true.
Take the song, get hyped.
Hashtag real hype.
Hashtag real hype.
So this is Chicago by FI Dragons. Actually, next show we should have. We may make it a heavy iFi Dragon show.
Because the future soon is actually soon.
The near future.
Whatever.
Future soon.
Future Jonathan Colton. Okay, I've had a lot of coffee and caffeine, and I've been sick, and the universe is trying to kill me.
So yeah. iFi Dragons, they're releasing the near future, I believe December 9th. So before next show, we'll have it, the digital version. We may even have the record that I know, you know, we both kickstarted it, and it's going to be good. So anyway, Chicago by iFi Dragons. We're going to come back and we're going to hit you up with Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Oh, Chicago, no.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Chicago by iFi Dragons. Again, if you are just joining us, iFi Dragons, this near future, it's coming out in between this week, this show, and next show. So I think December 9th, digital distribution. The records have already been sent out. I know iFi Dragons is like super excited about this record coming out.
Their hype's real, but that's not what I'm hyped about.
No. We're hyped about partly our retro game,
but we'll get into the main segment.
What our main segment is.
They'll figure it out. If they haven't figured it out by now, I'll be honest.
Right.
You're not geeky enough unless you missed the hook at the beginning.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you missed the hook.
If you missed the hook, I get it. If you didn't, then you don't have any excuses.
Our retro game is Oddworld Abe's Odyssey. This is like one of my personal favorite games
Wow. Is this your descent?
This is. No, it's not
your, my descent.
It's not my descent. My descent's probably Marathon. I'm not going to lie. Okay. Like, Marathon for me is like descent for you. Oddworld Abe's Odyssey is the very first game developed by GT Interactive, Oddworld Inhabitants, but it was published by GT Interactive, GTI, as well as Sony Computer Entertainment, which means it's actually a first-party game, more or less. First-party published.
Yeah.
Which
it has the blessing,
Crash Bandicoot. It was like first party. God, published.
I
love.
I think your Oddworld is my Crash.
Wipeout was Cool Borders. Jet Moto, Cool Borders, I believe was.
Jet Moto was such a good game.
Jet
by
Moto,
the way,
both Jet Motos were good.
Be playing that right now.
This is from the same time frame, 1997, specifically August 31st, 1997, and it's classified as a cinematic platformer, and that is fantastic.
I guess that's accurate.
That's actually a good description of it. So for those unaware, you take control of Abe. Who's
a very creepy-looking alien guy.
I think he's like a Mudokon. He's a slave. And he works at a meat processing factory called Rupture Farms. And he discovers that the main product of Rupture Farms are, it's actually like cannibalism, like of the fellow Mudokons. Like, I don't know if you caught on to this when you were playing this game early on.
Not back in the day, but yeah, so, I was like in elementary school and yeah, didn't know
his,
words.
The fellow Mudokon slave workers that work there, they're being slaughtered. So the entire game's about escaping and trying to find as many people, you know, as many fellow Mudokons to get out with you. And the really neat is, you know, it's like. I don't know. You're trying to make words.
I get it.
It's a strong story for, you know, for 1997 on PlayStation 1. It's a story about emancipating a people from their life of slavery, you know, rising up as, for, you know, under from bureaucracy and from slavery and from this horrible world.
My God, you say that story can have a part in gameplay?
It's such a good. Well, wow. You know, before, because the game looks pretty good, at least it did back in the day.
Yeah, for a PlayStation 1 game, yeah.
But if you were to play it today without an HD remake or remix, it would look like a PlayStation 1 game. So
we're on, what, iteration 4 now of the PlayStation, so yes, maybe yes. they've improved, I would hope.
Even back in the day, it was great. It's gameplay, it's graphics, good cutscenes, nice rendered cutscenes because
again,
that was kind of
what it was classified for.
Yeah. And it was the start of a series. It was the start of the Odd World series. So Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, and then Munch's Odyssey, and then New and Tasty, which sort of is like a newly developed. It was actually developed later this year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Released through digital distribution. This all comes from the mind of Loam Lanning, the director. Of course, Frank Ryan and Stephen Olds were the producers. The really, really, really cool thing is that this, I attribute the PlayStation 1 to having a lot of really, really awesome games.
Its library is probably the most impressive one
I would say
to
date. If not it, then PlayStation 2, surely. But
just because it can cannibalize on the PlayStation 1's library itself.
Right. It has backwards compatibility. You know, if you say what is the best, if you only had a limited number of games to play, what is the best console to get, it would be a PlayStation 2. Because
I could agree with
PlayStation
that.
2 games, PlayStation 1 games. The story is such a good story. The gameplay is such a good gameplay. You could actually leave and kind of go in like a trance state and take control of the bad guys. I forgot what they're called. There was like these weird bug like
Sligs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. Sligs.
Anyway, so you can telepathically control Sligs. And they had guns. They had rifles. And this really was a one-shot kill. Like, if you got shot by a Slig, like, you instantly died.
Right. So now, the trick to the telepathic control is you lose control of your body.
Yeah, you just
so
kind of stand there.
Standing there.
You can kill yourself. You can talk to... You didn't have super control of your other people. You know, you couldn't telepathically take control of them. But you would whistle. You'd be like... You know, and fart, and you know, do all these funny little things that
kind
of...
Such a good impersonation. I love it, Matt.
Yeah.
Love it, MG.
I love this game. Anyway, we don't want to run too long. Do you have anything you want to add to this?
It's available. Not really. Like I said, it's a great game. Check it out. What got me, I remember just thinking the art was so different and weird for the time. And now I've grown up on the internet since then.
It's organic.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's organic. It's worth playing to me just alone for the visuals.
It is available on PC and it is available on PlayStation Network. So, yeah. You know, you can get it if you play, if you have a Windows machine. And apparently there's a multiplayer. I was not aware. That must be extra for the PC part.
Know.
So
probably.
We don't know. We are going to cut to another song and then we're going to come back to our main segment. This is I Lead the League of Legends by Dan Bull. We're gonna do two songs just so
they have time to hype up.
Just so you can hype up.
Get hyped.
This is gonna be.
I think I may have hyped this section up a lot.
Maybe a little bit.
Nah, it's good.
This is I Lead the League of Legends by Dan Bull, followed by First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU. Get hyped.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was I Lead the League of Legends by Dan Bull and First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. Are you hyped yet? Are you hyped?
I'm hyped.
Okay.
You're hyped. So get hyped.
Hold on. There has been some accusations on my part, on your part rather, that I'm not hyped
enough. He does not look hyped enough. I'm hyped.
Does he sound hyped, guys? I feel like I should explain.
Explain your lack of hypeness.
I am internalizing all of my hype.
Hybidity.
Because
it's a real word.
Because If I was as openly hyped,
I'm about to go Super Saiyan. So
that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about this building.
I barely even have hair. It's going to turn straight gold, man.
I'm worried about this building not being able to contain either of us or both of us if we're both hyped to the max. But it's about to happen.
It's about to happen.
So, 20 years ago, I'm 27. You're 26.
20 years ago.
This
day.
Today, in Japan.
In Japan. December 3rd,
Tokyo, Japan. The PlayStation.
What?
The PlayStation 1.
By Sony Computer Entertainment Systems.
By SC. Yes.
Okay, I don't think systems is actually part of the name.
Yeah, no.
But it's okay.
By Sony Computer Entertainment.
Released it.
They released the PlayStation.
It dropped today, 20 years ago. I'm still feeling the shockwave.
Let's talk about it.
20 years later.
1994, right? The world was 1994. We were 94
was introduced.
We were dealing with things.
Because we're in 2014. Yeah. Do some math.
We were dealing with things like, I don't think the Saturn was out yet. We were fresh off of the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
We were fresh off of
I was my full
the Genesis.
Swing of gaming on PC then. I was PC gaming master race with Descent.
At 6?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the PC.
God, get on my level,
sorry,
son.
Sorry. PC was out and going.
Yeah, it was.
Well, PC gaming wasn't always a thing.
No, it wasn't. And that was a thing. It was in full swing with me.
PC
then.
Gaming was a full thing. We had regular Nintendo that was checking out, Super Nintendo that was still going strong, the Genesis that was superseding the Ataris. And again, it had been superseded for a while, but gaming was just really actually catching on. Mom and dads were going and buying consoles.
Really? Really? Because I had to buy my own.
Fair enough.
This is stupid. I saved up that, what is it, $150, I think?
Miss Red Bear, you have it. Miss Red Bear's mom.
Miss Red Bear's mom, she actually told me, nah, that's a gaming thing. That's a toy. You're going to grow out of that soon anyway. And I'm like, man.
The PlayStation.
So I worked and saved up my own money.
The PlayStation started it.
I still have my PlayStation.
It started Sony's console, and it was part of the fifth generation of gaming. If you don't know about the generations of gaming, we're going to talk about fifth generation probably in a later. I'm sure we've talked about fifth generation.
We've talked about
this is 32, 64-bit, and 3D, depending.
3D.
So it was handheld. It was the Jaguar, the Sega Saturn, which technically
Jaguar looks so awesome.
Technically, the Saturn came out first in Japan, the Sega Saturn, but it didn't fare as well.
But then the PlayStation dropped.
Yeah, it didn't fare as well as the PlayStation. The PlayStation
seems like Sony or they always had that problem. Sega.
Well, so the.
Is this just me or is Sony the bane of Sega's existence?
No, not directly, because the Dreamcast did worse than the Dreamcast did very poor in comparison to a lot of consoles. Saturn.
I remember a lot of people were debating though because of the timing whether you should just wait for the PS2.
Right. That's for the previous.
Anyway, PlayStation 1.
PlayStation
started
1.
It all.
So it started it off.
It's awesome.
Let's talk about the nitty-gritty of why we're not going to go into numbers. Yeah, we're not going to talk about the best games. We're going to talk about the origin. Because the origin story, again,
it's got
some
cool.
Pretty juicy origin story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, may I?
You would like to do the origin story?
Stay a while and listen. Because
all right. Pull up a chair. Have a drink. Listen to Father MG.
It's like a fireside chat.
Yeah. But the origins of the PlayStation.
The origins of PlayStation. So back in the day, 1992, 1993, word has it that Sony was approached by Nintendo. And I don't know if it was super high up in Nintendo, but it got to be that way. Nintendo said, Sony, we are looking to add optical disc support for our Super Nintendo gaming consoles.
Because those CDs can hold so much data.
So much data. They were easier to manufacture. They were cheaper. Cartridges were very, very expensive.
Yeah. And, all that plastic and silicon.
Right. And there was this idea of if a cartridge can last pretty much for forever.
For forever, yeah.
They hold up a lot better than, I mean, you can bury a cartridge and leave it in a dump for, 25 years and then excavate it and you can still play Asteroids. So, if a cartridge takes so much and is so resilient, if a disc is cheaper to manufacture and will break faster, then that means games will be bought more often and replaced more often. So it was kind of a ditchy move there. But anyway, they were approached by Nintendo, and Nintendo said, "Hey, we want you to build this, adapter for our Super Nintendo, so that we can bring it up to 32 bits." The Super Nintendo was only 32 bits,
so 16
or 16 bits, yeah.
Yeah.
So
fact check.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks. Anyway, so Sony does this. Welcome. There are pictures online of the Super Nintendo PlayStation,
and they can't put it online if it's not true.
Right. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll put it in the show notes. Anyway. Mm-hmm. At some point in this deal, nothing was super official. And then towards the end of this deal.
I'm kind of just picturing two like Sony exec and a Nintendo exec like just chilling in a coffee shop going, hey, I'd like this.
No, bathhouse. Got to be bathhouse.
Oh, bathhouse. You're right. Bathhouse, Japan. Wow, that's not racist.
Public bathhouse.
So public bathhouse, Japan. They're just chilling.
Yeah.
I like our version better.
Needless to say that Nintendo sort of pulled out of that deal at the last minute. And I think they went with Panasonic. And Panasonic ended up, in the end, producing something for the Nintendo 64 in lieu of that. But Nintendo didn't get into the disc-based media until the GameCube after the Nintendo 64.
Then they use mini discs.
They use tiny discs. They use 2.5 gig DVDs or whatever. And then the Wii U. So, which is still, I think, a DVD or whatever.
Wow, yeah, you're right. The Wii was the first time they actually used a real DVD.
I'm sorry, the Wii, not the Wii U.
The Wii, but wow, that's weird.
So yeah, they were gimmicky, you know, lunchboxing it up with the tiny disc. But the really the crazy thing is that this galvanized Sony. At the time, the CEO of Sony, Ken Kutaragi, he did not take the dismissal from Nintendo's deal lying down.
He said,
you know, gather his people, get everybody riled up, and they made the Sony PlayStation. They said, we are not going to take this. We are going to go. We are going to make our own. We are going to outdo them. We're going to beat them.
And to be fair,
and
they did it.
The PlayStation outsold everything Nintendo had worked for, everything they had done in that generation. Nintendo 64 did not fare as well as the PlayStation 1, nor has the GameCube fared well against the PS2, nor has the Wii fared well against the PS3 and the PS2. And as far as I'm concerned,
who's buying a Wii U?
People with small children. People that want to play Mario. Again, you want to play Mario, you buy a Wii U. You want to play Mario, you buy a Nintendo 3DS. You want to play Pokemon, you buy one of those consoles.
Fair enough, that's why.
You want to hope to get Earthbound 2 or Mother, then you know you get that. So,
fair enough.
So the PlayStation 1, had, you know, 20 years ago, was this big giant rectangle. It looked like a pizza box. This is good. Hold on.
This is good. Everyone pay attention. Hope you're still hyped.
So the
Matt, we're losing the hype.
I'm sorry.
I can only hype them so long.
There's a little bit of a Wikipedia excerpt from Maria. It goes, the PlayStation was the first computer entertainment platform to ship 100 million units, which it reached 9 years and 6 months after its initial launch. Reactions to console upon launch were favorable. Critics praised the console for the quality of the three-dimensional graphics. Then, Microsoft chairman Bill Gates preferred Sony's console to the competition from Sega Saturn, saying, quote, our game designer likes the Sony game, the Sony machine, end quote. So before Microsoft was even in the game, they were like, Sony's got it. The CEO. Again, Bill Gates knows about how to make games? Probably not.
Probably not.
But the fact that he said it means a lot.
Means awesome.
And you know, the legacy of this thing exists in several different variants. You've got the legacy of the original, you've got the legacy of the PS1, you've got the legacy handed down through PS2. You've got a legacy still today, whether it's through PlayStation Network re-releases of PS1 classics or PlayStation Now, or PlayStation Live or whatever they're calling it, where you can stream PS1 classics on PS4 and PlayStation TVs and Vitas.
And the thing is, I think you even mentioned it earlier, that just the sheer number of quality titles is what's so amazing.
Oh yeah, there's so many. Again, like, Metal Gear Solid. That's like one of my favorites.
There's consoles with libraries, but not of this caliber.
Legend of Dragoon. That's one of my. Resident Evil made its debut on
Resident
this,
Evil,
which
yeah.
is huge. Final Fantasy VII, which is heralded as one of the is probably
well,
the
a lot
best.
Of the Final Fantasies.
Well, yeah, Final Fantasy what 7, 7, 8, 9, mm-hmm. and then 10 was the first one on PS2.
Yeah. But still.
And then Tactics, Chrono Trigger was a big one. There are so many. Jet Moto, we're talking about Crash Bandicoot, Tomb Raider, the entire Tomb Raider series up from Tomb Raider 1 to Tomb Raider Chronicles.
Oh, not on PlayStation 1.
Chronicles,
you're
so,
right.
So, I mean,
right.
it started the whole thing. As of 2007, 7,918 titles worldwide. It was really, really awesome. 962 million units of software.
And we said we weren't going to do numbers.
Well, no, we're not going to.
And you're missing one of my favorite parts, though.
What was it?
The controller.
Okay, so let's start with the digital controller. Digital controller, this is before we had analog sticks, because weren't in at the time.
Not at the time.
It had a D-pad, it had four buttons on the right hand, and it had two shoulder button. So it had R1, R2, L1, L2, and then start and select.
Triangle, square, circle.
Yeah, yeah, there's four buttons. So D-pad. It started that sort of. I mean, it didn't really, because the Super Nintendo had everything except the extra shoulder buttons. Yeah. So it was effectively that, but it was the way it was ergonomically engineered.
Exactly. It fits in your hand so nicely. It's why they haven't really changed
it. They haven't really changed
it.
They've augmented the angle. They've added these little rubberized feely bits on PlayStation 4.
But I mean, not on the level like, well, Nintendo's trying everything up their sleeve to get a controller out.
They practically took the controller away. So with Microsoft, they did the Kinect, you know? So if you look at the PlayStation 3 controller,
remember the motion control for PlayStation, the ice cream cone.
PlayStation Move.
Everybody had motion.
Everybody had motion at some point. It happened and now it's gone.
Thank you.
If you look at a PlayStation 3 controller and you look at an analog PS1 controller,
they are almost identical.
The only thing is they cut the cord.
Maybe they painted it black.
There's six axis in the new one, but no one uses that anyway. I mean, you know, that's it.
They added all that little pad at the top.
That's on PlayStation 4.
Largely,
they haven't changed the controller from PS1 analog to PlayStation 3 DualShock 3.
You're right. No, those are like identical.
The same weight, same whatever.
Bluetooth and lighter, I think, is the difference.
Right. Built-in battery versus a cord. Yeah. And then PlayStation 4, if you look at that, they've only really added a screen, a speaker, or a touchpad.
It's not even that. I mean,
you know, they've changed the way the ergonomics, a couple ergonomical things. Yeah. But other than that, it's largely remained the same. And I think most people agree that it works.
It's my favorite controller, I'll be honest. Followed secondly by the Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah, the 360 controller. Yeah.
That being said, I haven't used the new Xbox One controller, because I am, you know, breaking phones and buying DJ equipment, so I can't have money to actually buy things that I want.
So let's talk about some things that the PlayStation 1 could do.
It could play games.
It could play PlayStation 1 games.
It could play audio CDs.
It could play audio CDs.
So I'm a DJ. I was super psyched about that.
You were super psyched.
It had visualizations.
It could do CD audio. It was awesome. Like CDA.
Yeah, it could.
So it was higher definition. And on the older models.
I believe it would also do the data disc, too. Like if you had lyrics on the disc, I think you could do that.
You could karaoke on it.
Yeah, I thought you could.
Yeah, you could karaoke on it.
I don't want to lie.
The really cool thing was you could attach multiple systems together. There was a serial connection.
Yeah, you could.
Or a system link. I think it was called System Link.
Some multiplayer games even required you to do that for two players.
Wipeout does it. The original Wipeout. Yeah. I bought it on PlayStation Network, and I played it the other day, and I was like, man, I want to get two people playing on, because I play Wipeout Fury all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at Wipeout 1, and it says two players. I'm like, System Link. I'm like, oh, I remember System Link.
Do you still have to actually System Link it?
You can't System Link it. There's no way to System
Link it. You just can't play two players?
That's such a dead piece of functionality.
Oh, man. Because I was wondering, like, if you just connect it through your network or something. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Anyway, Sony, get to work on that.
So the cool thing, again, this is when mod chips really started to come out, too, because there were mod chips.
Yeah, I guess this was kind of the birth region of modifying
your
system.
This was also when memory cards started to really emerge, because before, remember blocks? You had blocks?
Yeah.
This was before you had megabytes, because in PlayStation 2's day, you had megabytes.
Yeah, they started being real about it.
In PlayStation 1's day, you had blocks. I think you had 15 blocks per...
Because that sounds better than, like, 80 kilobytes.
Right. So you could look at your memory card, you could clear it, you could do some data organization. That was really awesome for once, because apparently, you know, you can't save data onto a disk like you can a cartridge.
No, I mean, it would have to have a burner in it. And
right.
That would be inefficient and you'd run out of space.
Well, it would also be super expensive. Like burners at the time were really, that's why modding was a big deal, because you could pay $50, $40 for a PlayStation game. Or if you had a mod chip, you pay $120 for the mod chip or $200 for the mod chip.
But then you can purchase, or you can burn,
you know, the games and play them then, that way. The really awesome thing was that now they have this memory card where you could save as many saves as you want.
Which was awesome.
You can plug two memory cards in and had a multi-tap four players.
And there, I actually had a memory card that, since it only had two memory slots, the memory card had a switch on it. It would actually flip memory banks.
It was like a Mad Catz or an instant action replay or something. Instant replay, I think. So the multi-tap allowed four people to play.
Multi-tap L.
Controller. Oh, I thought it was like the thing that you use for pool. It was like a triangle for setting up your pool balls. I guess,
like half of it wasn't the full. Like mine was an L though.
Oh,
which
maybe.
Is a triangle.
I guess. Yeah, it looked like an arrow, and the cord was the actual line bit.
Mine was like an L.
So you could games supported four players, which was awesome. It was doing that before any other cartridge or games
really did
that.
The game supported more controllers than it had inputs for.
That's right.
So you had to get an adapter.
That's right. I'm pretty sure you couldn't push as many buttons at the same time when you did that.
that's probably accurate.
On top of all of that, you got something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think their thing with the four controllers was pretty much the thing like we did in high school where we spliced all the keyboards together.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the same technology.
Yeah, you didn't have key rollover.
Like recognizing.
There wasn't anti-ghosting. There was actual ghosting.
Yeah.
So the coolest thing about the PlayStation was at the time Tips and Tricks magazine. We had Tips and Tricks magazine that they printed out a monthly magazine.
When did PlayStation Underground come out?
So that, I don't know. That was the next thing. PlayStation Underground. It was this emergent thing that they were trying to capitalize on the buzz and the community of the gamers.
It worked. I subscribed forever.
PlayStation One or PlayStation Underground was effectively a magazine with a demo disc. They would tell you about the reviews of the games, and then they'd give you a disc and you'd play it. You get to play.
You mentioned the demo disc. How long did you play the original PlayStation? No, the original PlayStation demo disc.
I can't remember much about
it. You don't remember Borders? The one level from Cool Borders?
Was it Cool Borders?
They had Cool Borders. No, it was a whole bunch of them.
Oh, okay.
But like, you didn't... Okay.
The ones I remember, it was Siphon Filter, Metal Gear Solid, Tony Hawk, and...
Okay. This is the one that shipped with the PlayStation, though.
Again,
I'm not really looking at facts, but I think they started the demo disc shipping with a console then.
I believe so, yes.
And so it came... I forgot the other games on it, but Cool Borders. There was one level on Cool Borders. I can't tell you how often I played that.
No.
Because when I bought my PlayStation, I had enough money for the console and one game.
I remember...
$200.
You got Cool Borders?
No, I got Crash Bandicoot.
Oh, of course,
but the demo disc had the one level on Cool Borders. I never actually purchased Cool Borders, by the way. Just played one level of it over and over.
I know I played Parappa the Rappa. I played on a demo disc.
Yeah.
I played Tony Hawk 1, the warehouse level.
The warehouse level. Again,
was like
Tony Hawk is another one of those.
The Metal Gear Solid, that was the intro level where you pretty much until you got to the part where you talked to your master for the very first time, you know.
And actually, that demo worked on me. It made me buy Metal Gear. Because I got all the way to that point, I'm like, no!
Yeah.
What do I do? What? No!
It was such a good presentation. So anyway, if you don't get it, we love the PlayStation 1.
One other thing I want to mention about it, something that I just like about Sony in general, they always make two versions of the console.
Yep.
The original PlayStation 1, big blocky thing, and then a few years later, actually I don't know when it was,
I think it was 99.
2000. Okay. So then 6 years later, they release a smaller version.
Yep.
And they do this with every one of their consoles more frequently now.
And I mean, so you look at the PlayStation 3, big, giant, behemoth, monolithic thing.
And it's just because it shows how far technology advances in that time period.
Yeah. No, it is. It is definitely, what is it? Not Murphy's Law.
The guy from Intel.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, we're technically accurate here.
Sorry. Anyway, the guy from Intel's Law. Anyway, this is running long. We're going to cut to two songs. We're going to come back. We're going to end out the show. This is Power User by MC Frontalot and Tutorial Lab Remix by Jordan Jonathan. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Tutorial Lab Remix by George and Jonathan. Before that, Power User by MC Frontalot. Bear, we are out of time.
We are out of time.
Thank you for staying with us tonight. We're all online. We're all on the internet. Bear, where are we?
We are at exppoints.com. Always double tap that P.
We're on social media as well. If you go to exppoints.com/social, you can check us out all on our social media thingies. We're on Patreon. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes.
Yeah,
Facebook,
are.
The Twitter, the Google Plus, the YouTube.
Tell us about it, Matt.
And you got PayPal. If you want
to give us money.
If you want to give us money.
Just give us
check
money.
Us back next week. Same time, same place. KSLU 90.9 FM and Wednesdays at 9 to 10. We're going to leave you with the Will of One, the 2013 remix from the Proto Men. Until then, until next week.
Until next week when we talk
thank
about
thank you. Go buy a PlayStation 1. Enjoy it.
Dude, do it.
All right. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.